Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Thad Allen. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of IBM's Homeland Security Services. Admiral, the role of the Coast Guard has evolved over the last 5 years. How would you characterize this evolution, and how do you envision the Coast Guard over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I wouldn't say it's evolved so much as we've gone back and resurrected a mission that was given to us years ago that's become prominent again. A lot of people ask us about the maritime security mission we've got right now and how it impacts us, but frankly, we've had this mission since 1917. There was a piece of legislation passed after a sabotage event by German saboteurs in New York Harbor in 1915 resulted in something called the Espionage Act, which is some of the organic legislation that FBI holds right now. But that is the original authority for our captain of the ports to be able to direct, close ports, protect facilities, and so forth. So the port security mission is not new. It just emerges from time to time. During World War II, the Coast Guard was over 200,000, and a good deal of our authorities then were to direct and control the ports. So it just happens to be a reemergence of a longstanding mission that we've had that is what the American public needs from us now. And we're capable of diverting our resources, realigning them, putting them where they need to be, and be responsive to the American public.
What about the next 10 years? Any major changes that you see in the next 10 years?
Well, I think the challenge before us is to come up with what the end state is for a maritime security regime in this country. We made a lot of changes since 9/11. We significantly improved port safety and maritime safety. But the question is, what is the end state that we are driving to? We have a very good example in aviation security where there's a 200-mile air defense information zone that if you penetrate that zone and you haven't called in or you're not using a transponder, you get met. We have never thought about the oceans in those kind of terms, and the water is very, very different. We have 95,000 miles of coastline with rivers, lakes, and everything else that are potentially have to be covered in this country. 95% of all the cargo moving from outside the hemisphere comes by vessel. But we're not dealing with bright borders like we see in the land areas. What you see are layers of legal structures that overlap on the water because they developed quite differently. You have a 12-mile territorial sea. You have a 12-mile contiguous zone that allows you to enforce customs, immigration, and sanitation laws. Then you have an exclusive economic zone out to 200 miles. We have never tried to manage the water like we do the air, but the question is, how should the water be managed? And I don't think there's been a discussion in this country or an agreement on where we need to go. One of the things I'm going to try and do during my tenure as Commandant is lay out what I propose would be a security regime for a coastal nation state in the current transnational threat environment. And we're also going to have to make sure that we understand how to do this globally, because if we do it unilaterally and our other partners around the world don't, we're going to create an unlevel playing field, not only in terms of commerce, but in terms of reciprocity on how we're treated everywhere. So the challenge I've laid down for my people in Coast Guard headquarters is to start working on this. So when we deal with legislation, rulemaking, our agenda at the International Maritime Organization, which is where we handle international issues, our budget, outreach to stakeholders around the country, we can say, here's where we're building to. Here's how we think we ought to regulate the waters. Here's where we think people ought to carry transponders. And it's a discussion we need to have with the country. That's what we need to be doing in the next 5 to 10 years.
You've been quoted as saying that your enduring goal is to lead a Coast Guard that is steadfast in character but adaptive in its methods. Can you elaborate on this, please?
I sure can. We don't want to lose that organizational DNA that goes back to 1790 that started with independent cruising cutters that has evolved into the principles of operation that we use right now, including on-scene initiative. We want to keep that always. But how those resources and how those capabilities are applied are being applied in a different threat environment, we have to understand there's an entirely different threat and political context that we're operating in right now. So we need to be adaptable. For instance, a few years ago, when Admiral Loy was the Commandant of the Coast Guard, he made a very brave decision that was not always well received throughout the organization. He was bound to determine that we should arm our helicopters. That was something that was almost unheard of in some areas of the Coast Guard. But we did it, and it's been the single most effective drug interdiction capability we put out on the waters in the history of the organization. And last year, we seized 150 tons of cocaine. Most of that was as a result of warning shots and disabling fire from our helicopters. So what you need is an organization that has the ability to keep those core values and that organizational history of being able to act and do the right thing, but be adaptive enough to coming threats where you're able to bring in technology and manage change so the organization gets better every year as far as dealing with the current threats.
Admiral, how does the Coast Guard grow and improve the competency of its workforce going forward?
Well, that's probably our biggest challenge, because if the requirements are changing radically and we're inserting new technology all the time, and every time you hire somebody in the Coast Guard, you're potentially making a 30-year decision, being flexible and agile in how you train people and how you develop competencies is extremely important. I've got a team taking a look at our human resource strategy right now as it relates to the new mission set and where I'm trying to drive the Coast Guard. And within a couple months, I've asked them to come back and tell me what the major changes we need to make as far as how we're managing accessions, how we're training them, how we track competencies. A key thing for us right now is to get much better at training our junior people in law enforcement. We do a lot of that on the job on cutters. We think a lot of that needs to be in the classroom. We need to have more of a professional certification for some of our folks that operate out on the water, more closely aligned with what you would see with CBP or other law enforcement organizations.
Picking up the discussion of the classroom, how valuable are service academies such as the United States Coast Guard Academy to your long-term strategy?
Oh, they're extraordinarily valuable because you need a mix of officers. You need a diversity of background, and you need a diversity of education. One thing the Academy does for us, it allows us to produce engineers. Engineers are in short supply. Everybody's fighting for them, trying to recruit them and everything else. So there's a certain amount of capability and competency that you need to indemnify the organization against by homegrowing it, if you will. And the Academy is one place where we can do that. It's also a place where we can take young people coming out of high school, give them a college education, but in the 4 years also imbue them with the history and traditions of the Coast Guard and create a nucleus by which we can build an officer corps. And then we can surge officer candidate school, which is much shorter, and we can vary the sizes of those classes to complement to fill out the entire officer corps.
Admiral, earlier you described a relatively young workforce within the U.S. Coast Guard, but we do talk to many of our guests about some of the pending retirement waves and challenges within government. What are you seeing within the Coast Guard, and how are you planning for the future?
In relation to our military personnel, we don't have the pending problem that a lot of people are going to see, and that is the retirement of the baby boomer population and the loss of intellectual capacity and intellectual capital in organizations. I think we've done a good job on the military side. It's more of a matter of how do you manage competencies and reshape that workforce as you need to once you have them for a 30-year career. We need to do a better job in recruiting and retaining our civilian workforce. If you were to take a look at where our shortages are now in the Coast Guard, our major shortages are in our civilian workforce, and our ability to recruit, retain, and then provide promotion ladders for these folks is extremely important. We're challenging our civilian workforce in that we don't have as many as other agencies, and they are commingled with a military workforce. So making sure that they have career progressions is very, very important. Our challenge is we may not have a critical mass of those positions that will allow us to be able to promote them up and allow them the virtual certainty they can stay in the organization and still work in their specialty and be promoted. And that's one of our big challenges right now.
Admiral, you've had a very successful and distinguished career. What advice can you give to a person who is interested in a career in public service, and in particular for that young person who may be out there who is interested in a career in the Coast Guard?
Well, whether it's a career in public service or the Coast Guard, you need to understand that when you're involved in public service, in addition to the compensation that you get that may not be as great as you would be able to enjoy in the private sector, you're being compensated psychologically for doing something for your country, and there's a notion of service and serving something that's bigger than yourself when you do that. And I think that's embodied in public service. It's particularly embodied in service in the Coast Guard. And the advice I usually give folks is that, number one, you need to understand that you're serving the country. Number two, you need to get up every day and go to work and enjoy it. And if you're not, then you should do something else. And number three, if you're coming home from work and you're not enjoying it, then you need to look at yourself and what's going on in your personal life. I think the Coast Guard has got it right in our core values of honor, respect, and devotion to duty. And when people are looking to come in the Coast Guard, I would just say they need to think about those three core values. And I think of them as concentric circles when I'm talking to young folks in the Coast Guard. The first one is honor. And that's the compact you make with yourself on how you're going to conduct your life and the principles you're going to live by. Respect, which is the next one, is how you're going to conduct your life in relation to those around you, the compact you make with your teammates, your office mates, the people in your own organization. A devotion to duty is a compact you make with your country. So honor, respect, and devotion to duty I see as concentric circles that build the individual from their self out to that larger sense of duty that's related to the blue uniform we all wear.
Admiral, that's a great model and great advice, I think, for all of us. Fortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Dave and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Well, thank you very much. I would just advise your listeners, if they want to find out more about the Coast Guard, we do have a website. It's www.uscg.mil. You can also go to gocoastguard.com, and you can find more information about our service.
Great, Admiral. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Thad Allen. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our program and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.